finished through We Agnostics at the Saturday morning meeting. That's the 10th, maybe the 11th time in the book. And so we're reading from Carry This Message on Steps 1 and 2, and it was really good. And join us Saturday. I've got more copies if you haven't been to that Saturday meeting, and it was really good information.
9:15
a.m. 9:15. Yeah, Dino, I'll get you. We'll get your wake-up call. And then tonight we're on, we had finished up to page 88, step 11. And before we start working with others, I'm reviewing those steps with the book Carry This Message by Joan McHugh and continuing to grow. And we've had two meetings on this, and it will probably take two more to finish it. There's a lot of good information in these pages, and the diagram that everybody made fun of, Mike made a beautiful thing, and I'm going to try to get this printed on a small card, like we have the left and right, so you can put in your book, because this is the whole deal. I must admit, I do have a sense of humor, because Mike said he couldn't read it, but yet he took the copy. And he seemed to do a pretty good job. Good job. Thanks a million, Mike. It's really good. And I'll see how Patty, maybe she can make it on a smaller card and maybe laminate it. We are on page 134. And for those listening to the podcast, you can get this book, To Carry This Message, from Amazon. It's well worth it if you haven't read that or the steps we put by Joan McHugh. On the page before, I guess, they have this chart. Everybody see this chart? For those listening on the podcast, it says the three dimensions of life, steps 1 through 9. And they talk about how we're putting our life back in order. And if you notice, there are three circles. The first one, the big one in the center, has God, spiritual, steps 1, 2, 3. So the first thing we have to do is put ourselves in right relationship with God. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Now, I was in wrong relationship with God because I was playing God. So you notice at the center of the circle, it doesn't say Michael. You get it? I have been removed from the equation. I've been fired permanently. I canceled my contract running my life. I hired God. I gave him a raise. I rehired him last week for the rest of my life. And then there's another circle outside of that called mental. That's how we're getting in order in our mind, so our thinking is right. And that's steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then the outer circle is the physical and social world, and that's steps 8, 9. And this puts us in order, our lives in order. So then in step 10, 11, which we're working on, it's how do we stay in order all day long? Because you can get out of order pretty quickly, right? And if you stay out of order too many days, too many months, then you don't have power in your life, and then what can happen? Alcohol can seem like a good idea. You may not drink, but if you don't stay in order, your life is going to be a mess. And you're going to still have the same problems and the same feelings you had when you came in here. So why do that? Why live like that, right? Then the last page, I don't know if it's on here, maybe I didn't copy it. Never mind. I screwed up. My wife made these and I made a mistake. So let's go to page 134. And they're talking about the 10th step. Now the 10th step in the big book is right after the promises. It says this right after you say, God is suddenly doing for me what I cannot do for myself. It says this thought, and it says they will always materialize if you work for him. It says this thought brings us to step 10, which says we're going to continue to take inventory, continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness, and we're going to live in the world of the Spirit. The world of the Spirit is the real world. It's where God is. And it's where I'm not running the show. And so I need to stay in the real world. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Now, I'm out of the real world whenever I get angry. Anybody here get angry? Good job. You're out of the real world. You're in your world. Anybody get fear? Good job. You're out of the real world. You're in your world. So all day long, with the 10th step, I'm going to try to stay back in the world where God is and not my world. It's the most effective spiritual tool for all human beings. We're lucky we have this step, so we could stay connected to God all day long. Then the 11th step, we have that review at night where we look at how well we stayed with God all day long. So if you're new, you say, well, I'm not here yet. Well, don't worry. Do the stuff and get here quickly. Shouldn't take very long to get through the steps, get into your amends, your fourth and fifth step, few weeks, and you're ready to go. And so the pages where the 10th step and 11th step is pages 84 to 88. If you're new, I suggest you start reading them every night. I'd also start reading pages 60 to 63 every night if you're new. It won't hurt you. Can't hurt you. Gives you a lot of information. It says the 10th step is one of the greatest growth steps in the whole program. It's essential. If I do the 10th step well, my days are good. I don't do it well, my days are bad. Anybody like to be disturbed?
No.
Then do the 10th step, because the 10th step is how you get undisturbed. When you're here a while, if you're new, we don't like to be disturbed when we're in the program a while. We realize that's bad. And here's the worst thing about it. It's my fault if I'm disturbed. It's never them anymore. So the 10th step is how we connect. It says, if you ask a person who's been in the program a long time, she will likely tell you that most of the growth of her life has come through using the 10th step. When you grow in the first three dimensions, your thinking is naturally going to rise to a much higher plane. That's when you have your life in order. The big book tells us many of the things we were able to do as a result of working the steps. We are told that our old ideas will be cast aside and new ideas will dominate. That's what they talk about. Roland Hazard went to Dr. Jung and he told him that was the solution, right? The spiritual change in which the things that used to dominate our lives, we cast aside. Now, I cast aside, and if I let go of them, then God removes them. Now, I didn't used to cast them aside. I used to think they were good ideas. And it got me a wristband. It got me a seat in the room. My life was unmanageable. So I don't want to live on my old ideas anymore. And that's why I say the set-aside prayer. Because I want to all day long be willing to set aside everything I think I know. And so it says, and we read it how it works. There's a line in there. I'm sure they didn't mean it. But it says, if you tried to hold on to old ideas, the result was nil. You think they're serious? Nil is not good, by the way. Now, new alcoholics will say, well, nil isn't that bad. It's okay, I'm not there yet. And it says, until we let go, absolutely. Now, what are we going to let, and I wrote of what? What do we absolutely let go of? Everything I think I'm right about. All my anger, all my fear, all my judgment. And I'm willing to see things differently. We talked about that yesterday. Willingness. We're willing to see. We're willing to let go of our old ideas and see new things. So I wrote step 10 is casting aside all day long all my old ideas right away and asking God to take them away and change the way I see things. And it really works. I can't tell you how much it's changed my life. And I can stop right away now. I have a power because I'm awake to God to stop right away when I'm getting back into my old thinking and stop right away and ask God to change me. Now, here's this daily inventory. Everybody has the cards. It's on the sheet. You see it?
Yeah.
Now, this is the personality characteristics of self-will. They're not good, by the way. And the personality characteristics of God's will. Now, the interesting thing is, the only way I get on the left-hand side is if I decide to. See, I wake up and I have my mind. Some people question it. But my mind makes me selfish and fearful and dishonest and inconsiderate. It's my thinking. I'm running the show. Now, what I want to be is the person God created. Now, why am I not automatically the person God created all day long? Because he gave us free will, and my normal situation is to see everything through my self-centered glasses. So what I have to do all day long is take off my self-centered glasses and put on the God-centered glasses, and I see things differently. It's not that complicated. If I want to be loving, I can't be hateful. And so I have to say, when I'm judging or I'm angry, I say, stop, I'm wrong. God, remove this feeling, change the way I see things. If it's really bad, I call Mark and drive him crazy. And then I let go of it, and God just removes it. It's amazing how you can go from anger to love within 10 seconds, 20 seconds when you do this. Now, the thing is, I wrote this. I hadn't done this before. You see the left and right-hand side? I put God and an arrow. See, when I came in here, I didn't know this. I thought this was the normal way you react, and it was always their fault for me to react this way. Anybody else feel that way? But now I realize that that's wrong, and God changes me. Now, the interesting thing is God's already made me the person on the right-hand side. But what God does is he removes me from my self-will, and I automatically am this person. So Joe and Charlie make the point that I practiced the character defects well my whole life. I was very good at being angry and judgmental. Anybody else here a good judger? Everybody knew what was wrong with everybody. And so I always thought that was a great character. You know, that was a great thing I had. I could see what was wrong with everybody in the room, but it ruined my life. And it wasn't even true. It was just a way to build self-esteem. And so I don't have to be that way anymore. I can be the other way. And so Joe and Charlie make the point, I have to practice being kind, practice being patient, practice being tolerant, and then the other way goes away. So the more I practice in a situation, okay, I'm starting to judge now, love and tolerant, they are who they are, it's fine. You get better at it, you're quicker to recognize it. So you can almost stop your self-centered personality and say, God, change me. It becomes automatic after a while. You don't want to feel bad. So this is really step 6 and 7 that you do every day in step 10. Step 6 and 7 isn't something where you say a prayer and then God removes all your character defects. It's not happening. It happens all day long. And I wrote, I reconnect to God, I shift from the left to the right-hand side. So if I'm connected with God, I'll be this way. So we say we want conscious contact with God, right? This is what it is. You're this person, you're not the other person. Anybody want to be on the right-hand side? The only person that keeps you from being on the right-hand side is you. See, if I let God run my life and direct my thinking, I'm not there, I'm on the other side. Does this make sense? It seems so simple. It's so simple, right? And it really is, you just have to practice it. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. That's in the 10th step on page 85. Now, do you think they said, must for a reason? Every day I must carry the vision of God's will in all my activities. I carry it with me. So what is God's will for me in all my activities? It's to be the person on the right-hand side. It's to be loving and tolerant and kind and patient and giving and considerate and forgiving. Does this make sense? It's not complicated. So you want to carry that vision, and then each day, all during the day, when you're not being that way, you say, well, that's my vision, that's not God's vision, I want to be the other way. And you just use this step all the time. I wrote, remember, our spiritual condition must be fit if I'm to react successfully to life. Talk about that on page 85, how we react if in fit spiritual condition. And what happens if I'm in fit spiritual condition, when something happens, I'll react differently. I won't get angry. I'll be tolerant. I won't be judgmental. I'll be loving. I'll be considerate. Does this see how it works? And so if I'm with God, I'll be this way. So if you're having a bad day and you're disturbed and this and that, the usual, it's your fault. You're not connected to God. You're running the show. And here's the thing. I'm tired of running the show. Anybody else? So I'm tired, and so I don't want to do it. So when I start getting bothered, I know I'm running the show, right? And I call Mark, I say, I'm running the show again. He says, how's that working for you? Not very good, so I'm gonna stop. I don't have to call him all the time now because I know it. But you see how it works? So it says, and how do you do that? You pray, you meditate. I just wrote a thought on the site. Nobody's gonna read it, but I wrote it. It's the 66 one. It says, The step 11, it's the prayer that you say after you finish meditating, and it has to do with what is the next right thing. And I wrote how you have to carry this vision of being loving, patient, tolerant, kind, considerate, and then you'll do the next right thing. It says, he talks about the third dimension. Most alcoholics will tell you that straightening up these third dimensions saves so much time that they don't have time to work on the fourth dimension. The third dimension is where you're trying to get things right with the world, right? And manage the world. But you can't do anything, he says, about the outer world until you've done something about the first dimension, your inner core. Now what this means is that if you do this a while, the outer world just changes the way you see it. Nothing's really changed, but you don't get bothered. You say, this person used to drive you crazy. You have anybody like that in your life? Just drives you completely crazy. And now you see it, and you say, well, gee, that's just the way they are, you know? And you don't get bothered. Or you'll see how you react to a situation that's different than the way they used to. Brian talked about sending out the Friday night emails that everybody hated during the week. And he thought that was great because they get them first thing Monday. But we don't want to do that anymore. See, we want to fix the inner world ourselves and not the other people. So when you come in here, a lot of people have problems and it's all caused by them, right? But it's not. They're just them, and you do the steps and they change and you react differently to them. It says you can't concentrate on this fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the conscious contact in the now with God. It's the world of the spirit. And he says you can't do that till you're okay spiritually, mentally, and physically. You see how it works? So that's why people don't stay sober. They come here, they don't work the steps. And so he writes this, when I came to AA, my marriage was on the rocks. I didn't have a job, I didn't have any money. I was pretty well shot. Anybody relate to this? My sponsor told me, you have to get your life straightened out. So Joe said to him, I know, I gotta go to work. He said, do you work? I figured you must think I'm a bub. I said, sure I work, I've been working since I was 11 years old. He asked me, what do you have to go to work for? He said, I don't have any money. He said, you've been working since you're 11 years old, you don't have any money, you're not doing much good. You see how it's so true, we don't even see it. You ought to try something else, maybe you should try getting sober first. And this kind of outer problem is all we can see. You come in here and you see all the problems you have, but you fix yourself inside with God and then these problems change. They may not go away, but they change the way you react to them and they don't have the power over you. So I wrote, I can't fix the outer world myself. I tried to do that. I can't fix myself. So I need God to say how I see, with God I see the outer world changes. It's a powerful line in the big book, maybe my favorite line of about 500 of them. On page 100, it says, when we look back, the things that happened when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. Anybody relate to that? And it says, we follow the dictates of our higher power and I live in a new and wonderful world. Isn't that great? And then here's the best part, there's a dash. It says, no matter the circumstances. So what you get in AA when you've done this deal and you're living in 10-11, no matter the circumstances, you're still in a wonderful world. Isn't that great? You're not dependent on how the world looks to be happy. You can be happy no matter what's going on out there. And so that's the peace that we get from God, right? The peace of God, it's in the scripture, right, Gary? Passes all understanding, right? And so it says, there's a sign, whenever I go, take Harper home, it says, no God, no peace. N-O-N-W, God, no peace. That's what AA is all about. You want peace in your life when you come in here. That's all you really want, right? And you're going to be at peace when you're with God, no matter what the circumstances are. I know that's true. I lost a child, and when I got the call that he died, I could see the line in the big book that says, if I stay close to God, and let him demonstrate through me what he could do. I can handle calamity with serenity. And I was able to handle it. Of course, he sent a lot of people from here. Some people in this room were here with me. And he works through people. But We can handle anything. So Joe's going to do something besides going to work. I had a new guy who was trying to help, and he was a really nice man, and he really needed the program. But he just there was something blocking him. So after a month, he said he's not coming to the meetings anymore. He's going to get a job. I said, great, but what about the meeting? He says, no, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to be okay. And I said, great. But he just, he had a different plan. And so I hope he's okay. But you see how we get our own plan? We think if we can just get the house, get back in the house. A lot of people are outside of the house when they come in here. Then everything will be okay. But they still bring the same personality into the house when they get back. And they have their personality, nothing changes. Does this make sense?
Yes.
It says, most sponsors will be able to help people because they've had to put their own lives back together. We know it takes some doing. For the newly sober person, it means facing their financial situation, their obligations, making amends. In short, working the steps. So working the steps is how you learn how to deal with life. I wrote not meetings. Meetings are good, but you need to work the steps. And meetings are supposed to bring you to the program to work the steps. I also wrote this. I wrote this, I didn't get into this mess overnight. Anybody come in here, your lives were a mess? It didn't happen overnight. It's going to take a while to get better. And we're impatient. We're here a week and we want to be better, right? And when I was practicing, I would have these patients that have really bad cancer. They couldn't breathe. They're in the wheelchair. They're dying. And fortunately for some of these, we had really effective treatments. So they'd be really close to death's bed, couldn't breathe, want oxygen. We'd give them their first chemo. So the next morning I'd come in and the spouse would say, well, he's not better yet. I said, well, it's going to take a few days. You see how it works? And so you have to be patient because we didn't make our lives a mess in a few days, right? We took a long time to get there. So it's going to take a while to get it better. Sometimes he talks in the next few times. You don't know what kind of advice because you haven't had that situation. So you might want to connect with somebody who's had that situation. We're really not supposed to give advice. We're supposed to give our experience. And so if you don't have that experience, then you really don't know what to say to them. And I think the mistake we all make is we give a lot of advice, but we haven't had the experience. So we're really supposed to share our experience. They talk here about these worksheets. I'm not going to go through all that, but in the old days, they would have you find people who work the steps, and after you'd done the steps for a while, you take these worksheets and you call people and you meet with them and they tell you how they work the steps. And on this page 138, in the third paragraph, they talk about this. It says, you can't just give somebody a worksheet list and hope it's going to have some kind of magical effect. The same thing is true of the stories in the back of the book. If you're working the steps, the stories are helpful. But if you haven't worked your steps, they have no real value. A lot of people hope they can go to meetings and read the stories in the back of the book instead of going to the trouble to work the steps. That's the main theme of Joe and Charlie, is that this is a program of action. It's a textbook with specific directions on how you recover. And if you don't do the directions, then you don't have what they had. And so then I'm going to skip the next page. And then on page 139, they talk about the Step 10 promises. These are what we read at every meeting. These are not. That was a joke. These are the 10-step promises. They're not read at any meeting, but they're on page 84 to 85. So it says you live in the world of the spirit, right? And then it says you have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Is that a good thing? You're not fighting everything anymore. You're not at conflict with the world. You're not reacting the way you were. It says by this time, sanity will have returned. And it's the sanity they're talking about is one thing in particular. You will be seldom interested in liquor. Anybody interested a lot in liquor when they come in here? Yeah, but you're seldom interested. And if tempted, you recoil from it as from a hot flame. Recoil. Anybody ever put their hand and touch the stove, a hot stove? Anybody keep doing it? No. But we did it, right? You recoil from alcohol. You react sanely and normally. So you see the truth about alcohol when you get to page 84 and 85. If you want to get there, that's a 10th step. You do all the work from page 63 to page 85. It's 22 pages, and your life will change. It says, this has happened automatically. Something's happened that you can see the truth about alcohol. You get this new attitude toward liquor. It's been given you without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. It's from God. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We've been in a place of neutrality, safe and protected. So to me, that's what I mean when I say recovered. I feel in a safe and protected place today. Anybody else feel that way? And I know I have God. I've been doing the deal. I feel okay today. It says we've not even sworn off. The problem has been removed. So you don't fix your problem. It's removed. And this is true for all of our problems. They're all removed by God. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor afraid. Now here's the warning. Everybody wants his promises, I've read, right? Well, here's the warning. You're only going to react that way if you're in fit spiritual condition. So the whole point, what's wrong?
What page?
139. Sorry, Jimmy. And this is how you react if you're in fit spiritual condition. So how do you stay in fit spiritual condition? You do steps 10 and 11 every day, all day long. Fit spiritual condition means that you're not living in your self-centeredness. You're trying to live a different way, and you're stopping whenever you get self-centered. So I'm going to skip the new worksheets, and I'm going to go to page 142. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This guy can really, they really made it simple. As we grow from the center of ourselves out, remember we're getting us right with ourselves, our mind, and the world. We push ourselves or expand outward into the fourth dimension. Now the fourth dimension is where I go through the day with God. Now God won't leave me. I'm the only person that can leave God during the day. So I want to stay in the fourth dimension. And so what I do is I know when I'm starting to leave God. You know why? I'm thinking. I'm making plans. I'm worrying. Anybody worry? If I worry, I'm away. If I start getting judgmental, I'm away. So I try to stay out of that and let go of it. It's easy to do when you do it a while. You'll still have days where you're disturbed, but you won't get as disturbed or as long. I used to have a lot of fear. Anybody have a lot of fear? And in fact, I could cook up fears. I could just sit in the chair and cook them up. And then I'd cook up another one. And now, it's been years, what I do now is when I get an idea that's like a fear or something, I say, no, I'm not going to waste any more time on that. It's not true. It's in the future. God, take it away. I don't want to waste any more time on it. And it's amazing how it just goes away. And then it says, ours is a spiritual program. This means, we don't have all the answers. We have access to a power that does. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Here's a good one. The sponsor should look at how his work life and his financial life has changed since he worked the steps. Things usually get better. He can look at what's in the third dimension, everything physical and social, the world he lives in, his actions, what he does every day. Many people think, here's the deal, if they can get these things straightened out, they will be happy. And that's ridiculous, because happiness, I wrote, shouldn't depend on exterior things. And you can't fix these exterior things at all. And I wrote, remember, we work for God. Anybody else work for God? We work for God, and if I play the role he assigns and stay close to him and do his work, then I'll get everything we need. So I'm happiest when I'm in connection with what God's plan for me is. He says, we make ourselves our inner core right, and then the elements of the third dimension, the material and social world, become right. And it's not that they change, it's we change the way we see them and react. So in other words, let's say you have a catastrophe. You can think it's bad, it may look bad, but you decide it's bad. You put the label on it. So like when my son died, it was bad, right? It was sad. But I said, God, this is a bad thing, I can't change it. How do I react positively to this? And then you get a peace, you get an understanding. And then I was able to deal with it. I see some people, they worry about money. Anybody worry about money? Yeah. All right. You don't have any money, right? But God says, if you do the steps, your fear of economic insecurity will leave you. You're not afraid of it. You just still don't have any money. So Sandy Beach says, well, I'd rather have the money. But no, in AA, you lose fear of it. And then you ask God, what can I do so that I can improve my situation? What action can I take positively in the situation? And so you can lose your fear of it, and then you ask God, okay, I don't have any money. Well, what do? God will say, get a job. They'll say, great. Or if you're in a job, work harder. Do better. Do the best you can. You see, there's solutions to things versus just living in the problem. We talk about that. Don't live in the problem, right? Live in the solution. So you don't have any money. Well, that's the fact. God, what do I do now? How do I react? What do I do with this situation? And you bring God into it. What I used to do is I would bring me into it and I would try to fix it. Anybody else do that? And it's amazing how we could make it worse. And also, not only would I make it worse, but I'd be afraid the whole time. And I'd be reacting out of fear to do something, and that's always caused me problems. Anybody else take actions when they're afraid and look back and say, wow, gee, wish I'd paused. If you study the basics of all the great religions, never mind the doctrines, they all say the same thing. Then this is the way life is supposed to work. The steps put our lives back in order. They are a set of directions for living our lives. Anybody else think that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. Well, what was my directions for living my life? They didn't work. Now, Michael and I were talking before the meeting. I was trying to get him to see that his direction for his life didn't work. So I just want to follow the directions in AA because they worked. Anybody else follow the AA directions? Has it worked? It really is. It's amazing how once we follow somebody else's plan, it gets better. When you use a thing as it was designed to be used, it works. Through the steps, we take a messed up life and put it all back together again, step by step. And this is true. I don't care what the problem is. If we get our lives together, the problems take care of themselves. Everything changes. Now we see that the program is all about living instead of just about not drinking. This understanding has informed my life. This is the principle of the design of life. So I no longer have problems. I have a situation. And I don't have to say anything's good or bad. It just is. Remember, acceptance is the key. Accepting a situation as it is, and then what do you do with it? Anybody like the Serenity Prayer? Anybody think it's a good prayer? So the Serenity Prayer says that I have to decide what I need to change, right, and what I need to accept. Is that what it says? No. It says I need to go to God, and I need God to come into my mind and give me peace in the situation so I can figure out with God what I need to change and what I need to accept. On my own, I always made the wrong decision. I was changing things that I needed to accept and vice versa. So the Serenity Prayer is where we go to God. That's what he's saying. We get ourselves in order with God. We get at peace with God, and then with God, I can see the options. And we're going to talk about pause when agitated or doubtful. That's the Serenity Prayer. You pause when agitated or doubtful and you ask God for the right thought or action. So I'm going to stop there. And I wrote, my thinking needs to be God-centered, not self-centered, and then my life gets better. So try to bring this back next week. There's some really good stuff. We're going to get into step 11 in here, too. It's a great review. Thanks, everybody.